Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Pin Gillette.
Hi, it's Penn Jillette, you know, the big guy from Penn & Teller, and I'm here in Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, the little city that's full of gambling and sin. That's where I am, sitting with Michael Goudeau, you know, the juggler in the Lance Burton Show. And we're on Free FM, you know, 866-313-FREE-3733. I want to talk about today, and you might want to get on the phone for this, because you can maybe explain this to me, why it seems like we are so terrified about homosexuality. Is it because it's so great? Is it because, you know, it's that one? Because I kind of have, I guess there's homophobia, and I guess what I have is kind of homophilia, you know? I wanted so badly when I was in high school to be gay. I mean, I bought Bette Midler records, you know what I mean? I tried everything, and I always ended up screwing it up by going out with women. But I really like the idea, because when I was in high school, like in the, you know, in the early 70s, all the cool stuff. I mean, being gay was really underground. You know, you didn't really say gay like it was a cool thing. It was terms like queer and fag. And I was so outside of the circle of hipsters in my high school, and they disliked me so much that they beat me up for being queer when I wasn't. And I kind of wanted to be. I thought that maybe they were right, you know. But there's this huge fear that goes through. Like, you know these guys who say, well, if a queer guy ever came up to me, do you ever notice what they look like, those guys? Those guys are the guys that no queer guy would ever come up to. You know, they look like Patrick. It's like, oh, we're going to, oh, you better be hitting them off with a stick. They're going to be coming toward me. And there's this Feingold Spectre thing. They're doing this thing. And, you know, I'm not a liberal. I am not a Democrat. I'm a libertarian. So I'm not a big fan of the liberals. And the liberal press has been saying that the Senate committee is doing this national ban. The committee is coming out, constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. And the Democrats, of course, say this is just a cynical ploy in the election year to get the right homophobics to vote for these people. And I would normally say that that was just liberal paranoia, but in this case, it seems like just reporting, okay? So they have this committee, and they're going to try to put a constitutional amendment saying who you can marry. Now, just to give the nut point of view, because so far my point of view has not been nut. So far my point of view, gay people are okay, they should be able to do everything they want, and what they do is kind of cool. Not a nut point of view. Let me add this point of view. I am so against straight marriage. I think a man and a woman getting married is really wrong. Now, I myself am married. You yourself are married.
I am, yes.
And Patrick, by some miracle, is married. But all the same, we are against marriage. Oh, you and I are against marriage.
Okay. Okay. We don't know about Patrick.
We don't know about Patrick.
We'll ask him at the end of the show.
I just don't understand why the government is involved in marriage at all. Now, the reason I'm married is because I have a daughter, and it turns out that we couldn't find a lawyer who would say that we could draw up paperwork that was absolutely airtight without being married, that would assure that if something awful happened to Emily, that I would be able to get custody of Moxie, our daughter, and our son, who will be here any day now, although my wife is the girl who cried contractions. She said she was going to have the baby last night. She didn't, but she's always been a liar. I just don't understand why the government is involved in marriage at all. I don't want any tax breaks for marriage, and I don't want the government having anything to do with deals that I make. I think all marriages should be simple, civil contracts that you make with another human being. And all these vows and promises should be done either in private or among your friends, or, of course, as we did it, on the internet, led by Elvis. But that's a whole different thing. We actually didn't get married by Elvis. We got married by, we said we were atheists and wanted a civil service, and they brought a person in. We made a big mistake. If you go in for one of these quickie $100 marriages, you know, mm-hmm. and you tell them what you want the person to say, we said, you know, no mentions of God whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. You can say anything else you want. We didn't look over the script, and he didn't say anything wrong, but we just didn't know how long it was. So we're standing there, and you know, she brought a new shirt, I think, but I was in like jeans and a t-shirt. We're standing there side by side, and we're also on the internet, so our friends had tuned in, and he's talking, you know, and as you go through life together, and we did not know, we really did not know if he was going to do 45 seconds. Or he was going to do like 10 minutes, exactly like this show when I get on a subject. You don't know if I'm going to do 30 seconds or I'm going to do 10 minutes. 866-313-FREE, 3733, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com.
You know, my wife and I got married at the drive-thru.
I know. You get married. But you got to get married at the drive-thru McDonald's, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, Ronald performed it because we thought he was, you know, he's captain of the ship there, isn't he?
But you... You married your ex-wife.
I did.
And there's nothing stupider than that.
There must be something.
Who is it? Is it Jerry Seinfeld who says the marrying your ex-wife is like taking milk out of the refrigerator, realizing it's bad, putting it back in and coming a week later and going, maybe the milk's okay now? But you married your ex-wife. You've been married twice to the same woman.
Yes, that's right.
And you've been divorced once from the woman.
Yeah, we haven't tried that part again. I'm hoping to avoid that this time around.
But I think that the whole
expensive and unpleasant.
So this was Feingold and Spector. Spector is talking about how there has to be a constitutional amendment, okay? And and then Russ Feingold declared his opposition to the amendment, and Spector, Arlen Spector, yelled at him, I don't need to be lectured by you. You are no more protector of the Constitution than I am. Sure agree with that. Sure committee chairman, our respect to you, shouted after Russ Feingold. And then he added, if you want to leave, good riddance. Good riddance,
wow.
He said. Good riddance.
That's quick.
And they yelled, and I've enjoyed your lecture too, Mr. Chairman, replied Feingold. These people are very witty. Who is considering a run for president in 2008. See ya. So the Democrats say that it is really cynical, okay, for the Republicans to be bringing up the ban of same-sex marriage. But then again, the Democrat who wants to run for president, which is stupid because it's going to be Hillary Clinton anyway, but he wants to pretend he's running, Feingold does, storms out and doesn't act like that's theatrical. But it's not going to happen anyway. We're not going to have a constitutional amendment, and we shouldn't. That's one point of view. The nut point of view says abolish all marriage. 866-313-FREE, 3733. Why is America so frightened by homosexuality? Why do we need a constitutional amendment? I also want to get to this hetero question here. We've already got a few phone calls.
We have a few calls already.
Let's take a call or two.
Let's
them talk. Let someone who has a brain in their head talk, for Christ's sake.
Okay, well, let's talk to Mike online, too. See if he's got a brain in his head.
I certainly hope you're smarter than me, Mike. How are you today?
How are you guys doing this afternoon, Penn?
Never better, boss. Never better. How are you?
Standing. First of all, setting aside the comedic farce of governance that you were just quoting from the boys in the wells of Congress, let's be frank. A marriage contract, and this goes all the way back to the beginnings of history, is to ensure the rights of property and benefits to the partners of the marriage. And it transcends civil, it transcends religious. Look, I have a Jewish background, and there's a document.
Don't blame yourself.
Well, you know what? We did start the ball rolling, so I'll take
okay.
But if you look at, you know.
You're not claiming that Jews invented heterosexual sex, are you?
No, but we may have mastered the art. No pun intended. The point I'm getting at is this. The reason that there was such a fight over homosexual marriage vice heterosexual marriage is because a homosexual marriage that is validated by the government then gives the partner in the relationship the right to benefits, the right to property. And the problem there is that you have a huge cadre in this country that are so caught up with mistranslating words from a book that they can't even get the words right from in the first case, referring, of course, to the Bible, that they're trying to uphold these medieval and prehistoric concepts of abomination. And we can't give rights to people that are acting in a subhuman behavior pattern. And that's really where it comes from. But
so you think that homosexuals are acting in a subhuman way?
Well, that's what these hardline, you know, ultra-conservative fundamentalists seem to think.
Right,
that's
you know,
their perspective.
The problem is, if you have a marriage that's joined to the Bible is definitely anti-homosexual. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, very clearly. The Old Testament says very clearly that a man sleeping with a man is an abomination, and I believe the penalty was death by stoning.
Right, exactly. There's no doubt that the Bible, in any interpretation whatsoever, is anti-gay, which is why I am always so shocked when I meet gay people who claim to be Christian or Jew. It's a little like being Jewish and being a Nazi. I mean, the Judeo-Christian tradition hates gay people. That's part of the Judeo-Christian religion. It's part of that whole culture is to hate gays. So what's your solution? Do you think that there should be a constitutional amendment stopping gays from getting married?
Well, absolutely not. But I think that the Constitution is, when it was originally enacted, let's face it, the Founding Fathers were not Christians. The Founding Fathers wanted nothing to do with the church.
Right, they were deists.
That's why they ended up here.
Exactly.
The Constitution should not be protecting a religious institution. It should only and exclusively be protecting our right to engender a religious institution of our own choice without their two cents. So
you know,
marriage, on a religious level, should be left exclusively to the church. And on a civil level, it's only to make sure that one partner doesn't get screwed out of what they're entitled to.
You know, Gudeau, I really wish someone would call that was smarter than me. And now the one goddamn wish that gets granted in my life is granted with this caller. I don't see anything wrong with what you're saying. It seems exactly right to me.
Want
to add anything to that?
I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I love the show, and I've been looking forward to an opportunity to join in the chat.
Thanks so much, man. You did a great job.
He did more than join in. He dominated.
He dominated the chat.
He did a great job.
Today's quote, you know, I think we could also use, of course, always, pops, they're so much like us. But we could also use, no, but we, what was it? No, would be, we may have mastered the art. The Jews may have, and I don't know whether he meant, did he mean sex or did he mean marriage?
I imagine it could be either.
Either way. You want to take another call?
Absolutely.
Or should I go on with
you know, we're
stuff?
Just going to talk to Mike's today. Everyone's named Mike.
Everybody's named Mike anyway.
Exactly right.
Unless Granny, what's his name? Granny born on Monday.
Yeah, Granny boy born on
Isaac,
Monday.
Isaac Hayes' son calls. Isaac, if Isaac Hayes was really cool, he would have named his son Purple. End of story. Let's take another call here.
This is line 3. This is Mike. Are you there, Mike?
How you doing, Penn?
Never been
I made a lot of good points. The only problem I have with gay marriage is why do they need to somewhat copycat what heterosexual people do? Let them just enter into their own mutual agreement, living together, staying together, whatever they want to do. And there's lawyers that could draw up contracts to settle different types of things, being beneficiaries and stuff like that. As far as the tax thing that you mentioned, which is ridiculous, about you don't want no tax benefits from it. Come on, Penn. I guarantee you on your tax return, you put down dependents, your wife and your children. You didn't write to the government. I don't want these things. There's a reason for it. People who make a lower income or aren't wealthy people, they need every penny that they can get from the government. And they could hopefully have the government not take as much as they can. And
but
these things,
make sure you separate those two things, Mike. It's not they want more money from the government. Working people in this country want the government to take less money.
Exactly.
And those are very,
exactly,
very different things. But I agree with you.
Marriage, but the contract of marriage enables a man and a woman and their children to get back some of that money that the government would take because they're supporting their family. This is something that in gay marriage you can't do. You can't procreate.
But what about those same tax advantages that go to married couples that are not going to have any kids? I mean, I have a lot of friends who have been married a good long time and have decided not to have any kids at all. Why wouldn't they be in the category of gay marriage? And why wouldn't gay couples who adopt babies and raise them, why wouldn't they be in the category of hardworking people that need a little break when taking care of their families?
Well, on the category of adoption, okay, and this is a question of actual gay, being gay itself. Is this something that you're born with? Is this something that is taught? I mean, if it's something that you're born with, which is, I believe, is true for some, but I also believe it's taught and learned, it's a preference to others, I don't think that's right for children to be adopted and to be raised up in that atmosphere. It's my belief, but
But you do know they've done a lot a lot of studies, and there we now have gay couples who have raised children from birth, and there is yes. nothing we've been able to find in any of the tests that have done nothing that I've read. You read anything, Godot?
No, there's nothing.
That says there's
no,
there's
I'm not
nothing.
Against,
there's no more leaning toward homosexuality.
Being,
there's no nothing.
I'm not from, against any adult that's willing to provide for a child that that has no parents. I don't care what they are, because those children are in need, and I'm looking out for that. But it's just a matter of it's a copycat. Why do they have to go and get a marriage?
Well,
what's the big issue?
What you're sniffing around is Kinky Friedman saying he's in favor of gay marriage, because why should heterosexuals be the only ones who are miserable? The copycatting of homosexuals to heterosexual stuff has always perplexed me, because I always thought that the gay lifestyle had a lot more cool things to it, and didn't know why some people in the gay culture wanted to copy the culture of that. I kind of understand that, but that's an aesthetic thing. I don't think it should be codified. It should be made legal in any way. I just think that's one of the conundrums. There must be something built into us, built into many of us, that makes us really want to bond with someone else and share everything. I mean, Paul McCartney bonded with a one-legged psycho who's now going to take 300 million and change from him. That's a lot of Seal Club and money.
Yeah, but you know what? He has another 100 million laying around somewhere, so it's like 31 cents to me.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
I like your joke.
Well, thanks so much, Mike. Thanks so much for calling. Thanks. I couldn't really.
Well, the reason the gay people would like marriage is because of the benefits he talks about.
Sure.
You're not allowed in the hospital room if your partner is sick. You're not allowed the tax benefits. You're not allowed the health benefits of your partner's plan. These are all big deals.
Now, does there have to be? Am I just wrong? Does there have to be a government? I mean, how do you do the hospital room thing if you had my utopia and there was no marriage at all? How would you decide who got in the hospital room? Maybe that's the flaw in the plan. Maybe there has to be a government rule to say that two people are. I mean, hospital room is a good argument.
Okay.
I mean, how do you decide that I'm the one that gets to go during the supposed birth of my child? It now seems like us having a son named Zoltan is as phony as Tom Cruise's.
Your wife has been faking the whole time.
My wife may be faking. She may just have a really good application that goes on. It may be all a prosthetic.
She wanted to spend 6 months laying in bed.
Because she was telling me, you know, oh, it's absolutely tonight. That's what she said. It's absolutely tonight. There's no doubt about it. And now she's out like having breakfast at the MGM. So we're going to talk more about this after this. 866-313-FREE-3733. I want to talk about this hetero questionnaire that went around. Talk about that after the break. We'll be back. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. We're at Free FM. 866-313-FREE-3733. Michael Godot, you're a very attractive man.
Sit on your own side of the table.
Yeah, that's the Mike Jones Humongous Orchestra playing the Pendulette theme right there. If you want to hear more of Mike Jones's music, go to PennRadio.com, PennRadio.com. And there's a couple Mike Jones links, and there's also some music you can download free. PennRadio@gmail.com if you want to write to us right away. And the phone number, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. And that number is going to change soon. Not today, but it will change soon, because we're getting the phone lines out here to Vegas. And then when you call up, you'll be able to talk to Happy Jack before you go on the air. So that'll be very exciting for many of you. We're talking about this. I was really surprised. You know, I kind of thought that the whole issue of gay marriage was kind of dead. I kind of thought everybody agreed that it was okay. And turns out when it comes to sneaking up to an election, a lot of people disagree with that. Specter and Feingold are having an all panty bunch little screaming. Well, I don't think it was fisticuffs. If it was fisticuffs, that's what real men would do. It was kind of a sissy fight. Kind of, oh yeah, well I care more about the Constitution than you do, bitch.
Yeah.
It was kind of that kind of thing. Wasn't really very
stomping
serious.
Stomping out, really.
Yeah, stomping out. Wasn't very butch. There's this. We got a ton of calls, and I'm going to get to them. I really am going to get to them. Don't worry. We have calls from like gay Christians, right? Which is good.
Gay Christian is gone. I'm hoping he calls back.
Okay, I hope he calls back.
We lost him during the break.
Oh yeah. Well, that happens.
Probably
at least it wasn't
work.
Me chattering on that lost him. At least we lost him for good, solid reasons of commerce. We lost him for capitalist reasons, not because you have a nut in the pilot seat, which is one of the reasons we sometimes lose callers. There was this last month, the school administrators at Port Washington High School in Port Washington, Wisconsin, are taking action after angry parents complained about a heterosexual questionnaire that was approved by two teachers and distributed to hundreds of students in an attempt to give them a sense of how gay lesbian students feel. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They sent out this questionnaire to a lot of the kids in school about heterosexuality. And the questions were stuff like, I have all the questions right here because Michael Goudeau handed them to me. What do you think caused your heterosexuality? If you have never slept with someone of your same gender, then how do you know you wouldn't like it? Your heterosexuality doesn't offend me as long as you don't try to come on to me. But why do so many heterosexuals try to seduce others to their orientation? Why do heterosexuals place so much emphasis on sex? Considering the battering, abuse, and divorce rate associated with heterosexual coupling, why would you want to enter into that kind of relationship? And this was distributed by a student organization, went all over the place. And now they are really crazy against these teachers because the students told their parents, which is really a butch thing to do. This parent, Lisa Cryer, I guess her name would be.
Cryer,
yeah.
Okay. Odd coincidence.
The survey was stopped, and they stopped distributing it. But she says that if someone doesn't call them on that, she labels the survey a form of sexual harassment by teachers against students, and says if someone doesn't call them on this, they will continue. And there's this whole big thing because they think that asking questions about heterosexuality and homosexuality is going to turn all their kids into raving queers. And this is the part that amazes me. I've never met anyone who was gay who thought that you could turn somebody just like that, just by asking them about it. Everybody seems to think there's some sort of, except straights, who always think they're balancing on a razor edge. And if one person makes one, I mean, Patrick the other day, we had somebody who was out of the closet gay coming in by the studio, and Patrick, our board op, who is living in the 21st century, okay, seems to be well-educated, speaks in mostly complete sentences, is married, has a kid, says, well, as long as you don't let him in the booth with me. What? How does somebody say that? Does he really think he's going to be jumped? Do you think you're that chicken? Do you think you are that prime? Yeah, you think you're that good looking? I don't understand that fear that if one little thing happened, you would have the slightest inclination. I mean, I thought it'd be cool to be queer. First of all, I have never had a gay person hit on me because I am so incredibly unattractive. I went to a gay bathhouse in 1981, a gay bathhouse. I became a member and I went because I was in San Francisco. I was in San Francisco and one of our box office people, who was very gay, said to me how hard it was to live in a heterosexual world. And I said, what are you talking about? It's no problem. And he said, well, I don't see you going to the club baths. So I went to club baths. I joined and I went and I spent an evening at club baths surrounded by everyone in the room, a homosexual, and walking around at a place for homosexuals to have sex with one another in the pre-AIDS day, okay, before AIDS was known about. It was still
yeah,
being spread.
Not quite pre-AIDS.
Right, but before it was known about. It wasn't right. Diagnosed. It was still around. Not one person came up and said, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Not one person. So I'm out of this because there's no chance of me becoming gay because no gay person has ever wanted me. No. He's holding up a sign that says, don't unattractive guys like you. No, there have been absolute gay trolls who have come up to me and never even... I hitchhiked across the country when I was 18 years old. I hitchhiked for like most of a year. I hitchhiked, living nowhere. I was picked up by every sort of creep and degenerate possible, and not one person ever reached over and put their hand on my leg. So I don't have that kind of temptation. But before I tell too much about my personal life, so Patrick's been to a gay bar? Good, Patrick. Good, Patrick. Patrick, that's his credentials here. But let's take a phone call before I tell even more about my personal life than my wife wants me to.
Stop you now. We'll interrupt you and talk to Joe on line four.
Hey, Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, first of all, you know what I think is so funny?
What's that? A monkey smoking.
Every single straight guy, for some reason, thinks that a gay guy wants to hit on him, talking about your story, because I got a bunch of girlfriends, and one of my girlfriends, Amanda, took her boyfriend out to a gay club.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to leave. You know, all these guys, I know they want me, this and that. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? First of all, nobody here is even looking at you. And second of all, no gay guy wants a straight guy because they got the worst bodies in the world.
That's no doubt about that.
But anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. So anyway, I'd hit on you, man. I think you're pretty hot. I've seen your pictures.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. That means the world to me. Yeah, that's exactly that. That was the point I was making. That people just.
When you're 18, you at the height of what one would assume would be your attractiveness, no one hit on you.
Right, right.
Now you have money.
He just wants to. He's going to cut off one leg and hop around like Heather, and I'm his Paul McCartney. That's right. When I was 18, I was 100 pounds lighter than I am now. about a little less than that. Okay, and I was out in the sun. I mean, at the time in my life that as good as this particular genetic material can look, that's how good I looked. It was the height of attractiveness of Penn Fraser Gillette. Not one. And I was hitchhiking. Hitchhiking alone at 3 a.m. Isn't there anybody desperate enough? But now finally Joe comes along, and although he's far enough away, he doesn't have to. It's not like
he doesn't have to act on it at all.
It's easy to say anything over the phone. Patrick could probably flirt with a guy over the phone. Let's take another. Speaking of flirting over the phone, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. I have the whole questionnaire if you want to hear more of it. But let's just take some calls. Yeah, take a call.
I want to talk to line two. This is Bonnie. Are you there, Bonnie?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bonnie. Doing very well, thank you, Bonnie. How are you today?
Okay, and it's a pleasure. And I just have to say I have flashbacks of you in zero gravity with your hair out, vomiting, and singing at the same time.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
I saw that video last night for the first time.
Did you?
I did. I finally saw the video of you floating naked.
Who gave it to you?
I'm not talking.
Wow.
I immediately thought of that. But I just had a comment on the gay marriage issue. Where many people think that allowing gays to marry will undermine the sanctity of marriage. And what I see happening is that the programs that they're coming up with, which allow gay couples to have the benefits without the marriage, have the health benefits and things like that, I think once those programs start getting rolled out more and more, straight people are ironically going to demand equal treatment and want these same kinds of programs.
You mean be able to have a program without marriage, but be able to have a program for partners? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, because they're going to see that gay couples are having this benefit without having to get married, and they're going to say, hey, I want that too.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with it being a government thing. I would love to have some way to get the government out of here, to have some sort of way where each individual named who they wanted to come into the hospital room, who they wanted to share their life with, or not even just one. I mean, I'm fine with polygamy. They're chasing around this Mormon guy for the polygamy thing. I think you should be able to make any arrangement you want to make with any other human being or human beings. I don't think there's a case, though, Bonnie, and hit me to this if I'm wrong. Is there a case where you have gay partners getting better treatment than a heterosexual partner?
Well, I think it'll be more of like a thing where they're trying to appease them and saying, well, you can't get married, but here's what you can have. You can have health benefits and things like that.
Yeah, but the health benefits and stuff like that. I mean, I think that organizations like Starbucks and your other kind of forward thinking. I think Apple as well. I shouldn't list corporations. I don't know for sure, but they have equal benefits for same sex partnerships as they do for marriage. But that isn't governmental. That is Microsoft has that too. Microsoft. it's not special privileges, it's just the same. And I think that if you are working and if you have property, you really should be able to share that with anybody and know that after your death, you can leave that to them. I don't think anybody's getting better treatment, but if you get a counterexample, let me know, Bonnie.
That's a good point. And I have UnitedHealthcare, and they already do that as long as you've been living with someone for a certain amount of time. And I think that's great. And it's just sad that you can build a life with somebody for, you know, 10, 20 years, and then something happens, and all of a sudden some relatives living halfway across America have more rights than you do.
Well, I'll tell you, it was terrifying because I have very good friends, Colin and Nell, in L.A., and they had two children, and they are they got a bit of money, so they went to real lawyers and tried to find a way to write up a contract that would assure that if something happened to Nell, the mother of their children, that Colin, the father, would be able to get custody for sure. And the lawyer said that he could make it almost certain, but without having the marriage there, it is possible for another relative to go psycho and to contest it and actually get custody of the children. And that's what terrified them. And that's why actually I was the one that performed the service. I was the one that married them. So I was complicit in this this evil. But thanks a lot for calling, Bonnie. I'm going to go into a break right now, so I'm going to hang up on you. 866-313-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Hey, you know, just today, a guy hit on me. You know, that's how attractive I am.
It was on the phone. He hasn't seen you.
This is Penn Jillette on Free FM, 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Talking about all the hoo-ha about this questionnaire that at a high school in Wisconsin, which I believe Wisconsin says in their license plate, America's Dairy Brains. It says right there, America's Dairy Brains. Wisconsin. We're not on Wisconsin, are we?
I don't think so.
Good. We can say whatever we want about Wisconsin. And this, I love the idea of this survey. The idea of sending a survey around, turnabout is supposed to be fair play. What's good for the goose is good for the gay goose, as they say. And I think that the idea of having a survey that just finds and replaces the word homosexual with heterosexual is pretty interesting. What do you think caused your heterosexuality? When and how did you decide you were heterosexual? Is it possible that your heterosexuality is just a phase that you may grow out of? Is it possible that your heterosexuality stems from a neurotic fear of others of the same sex? If you have never slept with a person of the same sex, is it possible that you all you need is a good gay lover? And so on. What do you know, some of the parents, and it's probably, when I say some of the parents, you know, I'm acting like the people of Wisconsin get up in arms. Nobody cared at all. They all thought it was cool, except for one psycho who turned this into a national story. And speaking of psychos turning things into I'm going to take calls. 866-313-FREE 3733. I will get back onto this subject,
I think we should talk about why we dislike gays.
Why?
Because they keep beating us for the Emmys. We should mention,
yeah.
In all fairness, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy beats us every year for the Emmy.
Every year beats out Bulls hit for the Emmy. That just shows it's all political. It shows there's a gay mafia in Hollywood. Because, boy, Bulls
if you
hit deserves so much more to win an Emmy than Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. But they're on their way down.
Maybe if you were a little more gay, we'd get some more votes.
So you think I should?
Yes, I think you should.
But, you know, for me to even be partially gay, even slightly gay, I'm looking at probably 800 sit-ups a day. You know, I have to change my body first. I can't. I mean, I already have fingernail polish on. I'm manicured, you know. I already don't. I've never been to a sporting event all the way through. I know a little bit about musicals. You know, I have my whole gay starter kit. You know, I have my Judy Garland records and my kimono. You know, the next step is actual physical change. I have to stop eating Krispy Kreme donuts, and I'm not willing to do that just to win their stinky Emmy that's had, you know, that has gay cooties on it anyway, because they won it the other time. I want to just say, speaking of psychotics, Pat Robertson again has said that has said something nuts. He said that a tsunami is possible, but Michael Godeau handed me this morning. And even though I act like I'm talking to you, I'm talking about you in the third person. Gets very Chevy Chase. He says, and this is a quote from Pat Robertson, and this is one of the funniest quotes ever. You might want to listen to this carefully. If I heard the Lord right about 2006, the coast of America will be lashed by storms, Robertson said on May 8th. If I heard the Lord right. What is the Lord mumbling? Is the creator of the whole universe unable? If Pat Robertson is deaf as a post, can't the Lord heal him, say something, and cripple him again? Can't he do that? Can't the Lord make himself clear? If the Lord can't explain to Pat Robertson when the storms are going to hit, how can you expect atheists like me to hear the word of the Lord? So that means when I'm sitting like in my bathtub, right, and I hear a voice going, that could be the Lord Jehovah telling me to give up my evil ways. What is his mouth full with? What is the creator of the universe stuffing his cosmic mouth with?
He's multitasking. He's got a lot of work to do.
So there's what they're going to find out is that out in the outer stretches of the universe, there is like a giant, like 100 million light years across Krispy Kreme donut. And our fat creator God of the universe, Jehovah, is stuffing his mouth with this and then deciding to tell Pat Robertson, and why, God, do you talk to a retard? Why don't you talk to somebody with a brain in their head? Why doesn't God speak to anybody that is educated and pleasant and nice? Why doesn't God speak to, for instance, Richard Dawkins? Richard Dawkins would be able to really make a case for this. Pat Robertson, there's going to be a storm blowing 2006. What? Tory gone. More Krispy Kremes to eat. I don't know. You know,
maybe it's a burning bush and it's crackling.
I don't know. Anyway, let's get back to the subject at hand. You know, it's so unfair to talk about theology and use Pat Robertson as your... It's like talking about atheism and using Stalin, you know. It's just, you're using the wrong guy, you know. You're just using the wrong guy. I know that I've never met one Christian who stood behind Pat Robertson on anything. He's an actual lone wolf just leading a few nutcases. But let's get back. Speaking of nutcases, this is Penn Jillette on Free FM. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Let's take a phone call. Michael Goodell.
Let's go straight to line six. I believe Lori is on line six.
Hey, Lori, what's up?
Hey, I was just calling in. My mother's gay, and I know that guy that called in, like the second caller, was saying how he wouldn't swear if you turn gay or if you're born gay, and then the whole thing about being able to go into the hospital with the people. I'm straight up straight.
Uh-huh.
My mother's gay. All I got was another person to love me unconditionally.
So you were like Lori has two mommies?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I got three moms.
That's very cool.
My mom and my other mother they broke up, but they're still friends. And then she hooked up with my mom.
I have a full color magazine showing that same scenario, I believe. But and has this been since you were born?
No, actually, she came out to me when I was 18, but I've known she was gay since I was about 13. Just lived in denial, which I'm ashamed of. I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of my mother. I mean, she loves me. Now I have my mom that loves me. I don't agree with people that just believe that, you know, gay people shouldn't raise children, shouldn't be adoptions. Like, they're two loving individuals.
Do you have siblings?
No, I don't. Well, I have a little brother from my father, but he's four and I'm one, so.
And how was your relationship with your dad, your biological dad?
He's fine with it. I mean, we really don't talk about mom being gay, but, you know, they had the typical got divorced, don't talk, really, but.
Uh-huh. But I think the interesting part of this, though, is that she wasn't really out. You didn't have any of the society hassles until you were 18 and perfectly capable of handling it, right?
Right. And then with and being in Virginia, they had laws where people of the same sex, whether they're brother, sister, gay, not brother and sister, that makes sense, sister and sister, cousin, or gay, that they can't get into legal contracts together. So I've actually already told them that if anything were to happen to either one, I will sign over my rights so the other can, you know, go into the hospital, see them, or get the house or whatever.
Oh, I see. Well, so really, what they have with you is they have someone that they can trust completely. So you can just turn over everything that would rightfully be yours as a daughter to them. And that's what, as I talked about Colin and Nell, that was the situation. Except, you know, you can always have. There's always the chance that you go crazy,
right?
You know, and you go crazy and decide you won't give them that rights or something.
And they actually had a ceremony where they used the Book of Ruth as an example of the love, you know, being two women. And I think Naomi or somebody was saying that where she went, she wanted to be. Her people were her people. Where she lived. Her God was her God.
And are you telling me that the Book of Ruth has hot Lizzie action?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know that. I'm going to go back and look at the Book of Ruth because I haven't read the Bible in a long time. But you say that Ruth says it's okay for there to be gay women?
Pardon me?
You say that the Book of Ruth in the Bible says it's okay for there to be gay women?
The way that her minister interprets.
Yeah, that's always the tricky part. They're always interpreting
exactly.
It that way. But you said you and you don't feel like being raised. You said you knew since you were 13. But presumably, when did your parents divorce?
They divorced when I was 13.
And you were 13. And you'd kind of known that. And did she have, like, special friends that you knew when you were a kid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. My other mother, she's 6 years old. She raised me like a mother. I think of her as my mother. I call her my mother. I give her Mother's Day cards, defend her to some of my mom, since we're from the South. So it's a little hard for some of my mom's family to swallow. So I'm right there being her supporter, saying, you know, the Bible says to love thy neighbor as you would yourself. You're not supposed to exclude people. You're not supposed to be self-righteous.
So are you religious?
No, not particularly. And that's the reason I'm not is because of people like our president who likes to misinterpret the Bible and say that if you aren't with him, then you're against him.
I mean, but to be perfectly fair, to have an anti-gay slant, it doesn't seem you can call that misinterpreting the Bible. It seems what you're doing is cherry-picking. Yes, there is lip service throughout the Bible to love, but there is also an awful lot of things that say you shouldn't do this or you'll be stoned to death or you'll be killed, including things like working on the Sabbath and stuff like that is a punishable by death in the Bible. And it certainly seems like the Bible is anti-homosexual. So I don't think you can accuse Bush of misinterpreting the Bible without saying that everybody that puts their own spin on it is putting their own spin on it. But thanks so much. And you didn't feel like just to address the question directly, you didn't feel like your mother being gay in any way put pressure on you to be gay. Is that right?
Not at all. I'll joke with her friends when we first meet them that, you know, they're hoping I turn out gay, but I think they're pretty cool with the fact that I'm straight, and they realize that's just how I was born.
Oh, that's cool. And you're not married yet yourself or anything?
Oh, yeah, actually I am. I'm married to my husband. We've been married 4 years, been together 15 years in June.
And how does your husband feel about his two mother-in-laws?
He is completely evolved. When we were 17 and started dating, he was, you know, if I have a gay kid, I'm going to kill him or I'm going to disown him. And now he's perfectly fair with it, and he's one of their biggest supporters, too. He's gone to some gay clubs with us. We go to Rehoboth Beach all the time for summer vacation. So we're basically the only straight people on the beach, and he's cool with it now.
Nothing makes me happier than people that are able to do that kind of change in their life. Thanks a lot for calling. Thank you so much. You know, that's just, you know, that's all you want out of life is people to find a way to kind of to live together and work it out. And the hero of that story is her husband. You know, the hero is not her mother and not her other
right.
mother and not her, but her husband who's able to come around. This is Penn Jillette. We'll be back tomorrow if there isn't a biblical rule against it.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.